You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 768 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, Evie from USDF gives us a 2024 recap of the USDF Book Club and updates us on the 2025 Book Club plans. We caught up with Taryn Hoffis on competing in the four-star Kentucky three-day event last weekend. Last, we spoke with Emily Broiler Curtis on her recovery journey and her first competition back from a major injury. This is Reese Koppler-Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac in Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I am great, except I may get blown away. I am getting ready for a tornado. How about you?
You and Glenn and Jen. Right now, actually, in Kentucky, it's beautiful weather. I am not going to lie to you. So, yeah, it is gorgeous here. So that is awesome, which I love. But yes, we are recording relatively quickly tonight because we want to make sure everybody is safe and sound. So if you're having bad weather where you are, we're thinking about you. But Megan, how has it been?
It's great to be home. I have a new horse. I've been getting to know a new sale horse. He's amazing. I got to tell you all about him. He's tall, dark, and handsome, and he loves to snuggle, and he's just made my life amazing right now. Everyone needs a new horse.
I love it. Isn't it so fun? Oh my goodness. What is his name?
Free Dance is actually his name, but we call him Free. And yeah, I'm just getting to know him, and he's exactly what I needed.
I love that. Isn't that fun when you get a horse that is exactly what you need? And that is so cool. I love that. Congratulations.
Yeah. And tell me about you. You just got back home. I'm going to call it the Rolex. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You were busy. Tell me all the things. How's your new guy?
Same thing. Like it's been a really intense couple weeks just landing. My truck's still in Florida, but that's just a whole nother podcast. So I have a Golden Malibu rental car. So yeah, that's been a journey. I can tell you, anybody who has a small car, I could have gotten 8 bags of shavings in my car today. I was very proud. I got 6. I only needed 6, but I could have gotten 8 if I needed it. So,
that a girl.
Yeah, I was really proud of myself. So that was great. And then, yeah, so that was crazy. And then we went right into, this is the 2 big weeks in Kentucky. We have the Kentucky 3-day event. That's what I'm just going to call it. And there's always fun events. You'll hear here in a little bit, my new friend, Taryn, I met her at the American Hanoverian Society. They asked me to come as a panelist. I've done a few things for them. So that was super fun. And just the shopping, and so many people are in town. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful event. And so then we roll right now into the Derby. So it is equally busy. I have some riders coming for dressage camp, which is going to be fun. Dr. Catherine Donworth won a Dressage Foundation grant. So that is super fun. She's coming. So just lots of fun stuff, just getting back in routine, which is really cool.
It's great to be home.
It's great to be home. Oh, I love it. Yeah, it is great to be home. So we have a fantastic show today. So we're going to get this party started. We're going to have a quick break from Kentucky Performance Products and get right into the show.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestine. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have back Evie Lancione. She is the Membership Education Coordinator at USDF. Evie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back. It feels like it's been a while.
I know. I think it probably has been a couple months. So how are you? What are you up to, my friend?
I am back with quite the book club overview to give our listeners.
Whoop, whoop.
We're excited. Let's talk about our book club. What's been going on?
Okay, so I wanted to kind of go over the 2024 activities that we did. It was obviously started in the middle of the year, so we only had two books. Obviously, Debbie's Riding Through, Debbie McDonald. That was an amazing read with Nancy Jaffer on the podcast and the webinar. And it was really cool to get her point of view as an equestrian journalist. We had Dressage for the Not-So-Perfect Horse with Janet Foy. She's always so fun to talk with.
She
also got to be our convention speaker.
Yeah.
We are hoping to get a book club slot for convention this year, and it is in Lexington, so my hometown.
Our hometown. Yeah, Evie and I are like high-fiving. Yeah, we'll be going home, which is nice.
So, yeah, seriously. So close to headquarters, too. So it's very convenient. We did have awards for the 2024 book club. This was kind of kept on the down low until we could figure out how we were counting everything. And it ended up being a lot of manual just counting. But we did have a GMO participation winner, Eastern Iowa Dressage and Eventing Association. They had the highest percentage of membership participation.
Awesome.
So they got a fun little multicolored banner that they can put wherever they want and brag until the 25 winners are announced.
Awesome.
And I know they're super
congratulations. Yay.
So I expect to see that all over the place from them. That's what it sounded like the president said.
Right.
We also had individual winners for their outstanding participation in book club activities. And they received, we have these bookmarks made that we're going to use in years to come and for future awards. They're like leather magnetic bookmarks with the USDF symbol embossed on them. They're really cute. I actually should probably snag one for my book club activities as well.
I know. I was like, do Megan and I get a book club? Like, I would love a bookmark.
Yeah, we'll reserve some for the working group and the people who do the legwork.
Yeah.
Like, thank
you. Also deserve an award.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, I love it.
Okay. And so that kind of sums up 2024. It was obviously a new program. Was my first time launching a program for USDF, so it was exciting and terrifying, but I think it could have certainly gone worse, and I think plenty of people are excited to have a book club finally.
Oh, yeah, it's great. We're really excited to be a part of it. It's been fun.
And you guys have been such a great help, so thank you. The 2025 plan.
Yes.
So obviously the first quarter is coming to an end. We finished up with Leslie Webb's Build a Better Athlete. Let me see. So we did have our webinar, which anyone who watched knows that we had technical difficulties with. And we're just going to call that water under the bridge because technology and horse people don't always.
It's hard. It was hard. I get
it.
It was
hard.
Difficult.
Moving forward.
We need for Leslie's book a keyword. So if everyone remembers from Debbie McDonald's book, We got a keyword. What you need to do is send this keyword in via email to bookclub@usdf.org, and you will get credit towards your USDF university transcript. This keyword is paperclip.
Woohoo!
Paperclip. Okay, so say that one more time, because I feel like I should, like, people should be doing it right now. Don't do it if you're driving or riding, but if you're able to do it, what do you do again?
You are going to email the keyword paperclip to bookclub@usdf.org. And that is the complex countercanner exercise in sort of the middle of Build a Better Athlete.
It was a really good, it was a really good exercise.
Several times.
Yeah.
So coming up next, we have Collective Remarks, by Ann Gribbins. And it was suggested, I know you guys have done this on like the original podcast book club, but it was suggested by so many working group members. And then George Williams told me he wanted us to do it. So we're doing it.
When George says it, we do it. Yes, exactly. It's been a number of years. I want to say she was like one. Now our OGs on the podcast could tell us, but that one was early on. That was like maybe one of our first books. So it may be 10 years since we did that one.
Well, it'll be a good refresher.
Yeah, we're bringing her back. Exactly. I love that. So I love that. Very cool.
Okay. And then we have Jack Ballou's newest publication is 33 Strength and Fitness Workouts for Horses. I've worked with Jack before. He has such a great way of explaining the importance of fitness of horses. And it's something that can be overlooked, especially with dressage people. It's kind of like a cliche, you know, that like dressage horses are the chubby ones. Mm-hmm. So we're going to combat that with Jack's book.
I love it. We already
we're
got
gonna
the book.
Inspire everyone.
It looks good. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've already leafed through it a little bit and it looked good. I was like, I should pull this baby out and start working on it. So
yeah,
that one's, her books are awesome. She also
they
had another
so
book.
Well laid out.
Yeah. And she had another book we did years ago as well, but this is a new one. So very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the podcast.
Yes. Brand spanking new. So I was excited to get it for, right when it came out. And then our last book of the year will be Begin and Begin Again by Denny Emerson. And it's about the journey of a horse person as they stop and restart riding throughout their lives, which is actually going to be hitting home for me. And I think a lot of people go through that in their equestrian journey. It doesn't mean you stop being a horse person. And I think it'll be really interesting to kind of go through someone else's perspective of it and see what that kind of journey has in store.
I love it. Like you said, that hits home for everybody. And we've all been there. And I think it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that one, too. I love it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, he's an eventer. So we are reaching a little bit outside of the dressage zone, but it's absolutely a horse person's experience. So everyone can relate to that.
So, Evie, just remind everybody, we read the books, right? And then what happens?
Okay, so for each book, we are planning to have a webinar. We're going to put a keyword on the podcast episode. Remember, this podcast episode's keyword is paperclip. And then we will put a quiz on the book club webpage of the USDF website. And you earn credit for participating in all three of those. And then we're hoping to get a time slot at convention for a book club meeting. We're not positive which author we would have there, but one of the authors hopefully would be featured. And that I think that would end up being 13 activities for the year.
Awesome.
Awesome.
And how many do you need to do to be eligible for all the prizes?
I think we decided 8 or 9. So don't hold me to it. I'll have to go back into our notes.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to I don't want to promise a number and have any.
You have a couple. Like if you don't hit every webinar, it's okay. But you have to do most of the 13 activities. That's kind of, exactly. Yes. I think it was like.
And
9.
We are going to be posting these episodes on the book club webpage as well. So you can retroactively listen and send the keyword in at any time and we'll give you credit for it.
Awesome.
It. That's so cool. I love it. Yeah. No cheating, everybody. No Cliff Notes version.
No asking your friend what the keyword was.
Exactly. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Very cool.
And then moving forward with book club. So USDF's education department is having a few role changes. I am going to be working more with curriculum for professional and licensed officials. And Amy Eckelman is going to be taking over our book club activities. She is our education administrative coordinator. So So in the future, you're going to hear a different voice on the podcast, most likely.
I know.
You'll see a different face.
We love Amy, but we are going to miss you, Miss Evie. You've been wonderful. It's been fun to get this started with you.
It has been so fun, but I will be around. Anyone who needs me can send an email. You can find me on the USDF website. And now you all have my number, so you can get me too.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. No, that's so good. That's wonderful. No, it's really exciting and new changes. And Amy's getting up to speed with us and she'll be on the next podcast. But we wanted to have one more go with Evie because we're going to miss you tons. But like you said, you're not going anywhere. You're just a little bit of role change, which is also exciting. So we're thrilled for you.
Yes, I am excited. It's going to be cool. Yeah. But it has been so fun to kind of launch this. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been really fun.
So we wrapped up 24, we've launched 25, and Amy is going to take the reins, and we're also in the same office space, so we're working together on it a little bit.
We're working together. And you'll definitely be, you'll have to come to the meetup, for sure. You started it, you got to come to the meetup, for sure. So,
I'll be there. Well, we can also hang out.
Well, Evie, if anybody has any questions, can you give, Amy's email? Because now the emails are going to go to Amy. And like I said, you can also take them. But how do we get a hold of Amy if we have any questions moving forward? Our next update, we'll have Amy on the podcast. So you guys get to know her a little bit. So how do we do that?
Yeah. So actually, the education email now goes to Amy. And that is just education@usdf.org. So that would be the easiest way to reach her. And anytime something comes up that's new to her, it defers to me. So we discuss it, put our heads together and talk about it. So that's the best way to reach either of us, education@usdf.org.
Fantastic. Well, Evie, we'll be watching you. I'm super proud of Evie because I've known her since her college days when she was in my class. So I've got extra cheers for you, Evie. And thank you so much for all your help. Chewy is your one-stop horse shop from horse feed and supplements to supplies, medication, and more, delivered straight to your barn. With fast, free shipping on orders over $49 and the convenience of AutoShip, you'll never have to worry about running out of brands you trust and the products you need. You can count on Chewy to keep your barn stocked and your horse happy. Start shopping today at chewy.com/equine. Well, tonight, I am really excited to invite my new friend, Taryn Hoffus. She is from Southern California, and she has an event training program at Copper Meadows Event Training. She is an ICP Level 1 certified instructor, and she's my new friend because we sat together at the American Hanoverian Society panel discussion on Friday at Land Rover or Defender 3-day event, and I loved her so much. I wanted her to come on and meet everybody here on the show. So, Taryn, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, BFF.
I was like watching all the results as they were coming in. I was like, how did she do? So, Taryn, kind of introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Hi. I'm so glad to be here. I am Taryn. And like Reese said, I am based in Southern California, just outside of San Diego. And I've got my family owns an 80-acre ranch out there that we've actually run events up through the 4-star level for about 20 years. And we've got boarding and training, and I give lessons and ride at the upper levels and just living the dream, basically.
I love it. Now, this was your first go here at, it's now called the Defender Kentucky 3-day event. So if anybody, it was Rolex, then it was Land Rover, but now it's called the Defender. So was this your first go here?
It was, yeah. So this has been a big goal of mine. I have two horses at the 4-star level now, which is crazy dream coming true. And so this has been kind of my big goal for the past year. And so really just so excited that I got to bring them both out and that it all worked out.
So yeah. Do us a favor. Could you explain sort of the star level to everybody who are dressage based, like 4 and 5-star? Cause the Defender now has a 4 and 5-star. So can you kind of explain that a little bit to us dressage riders?
Yeah, basically the starred levels are the FEI levels. And so they're internationally recognized. And so we have 1-star through 5-star. So 1-star, I like to think about it like championship of the level. So 1-star is a championship modified level, 2-star is championship preliminary, 3-star championship intermediate, 4-star championship advanced, and then 5-star is just crazy town.
Yeah, crazy town.
Yeah.
It's a whole new level of fun.
Well, congratulations for making it to a 4-star. And not only that, you brought 2 horses and competed on both in the 4-star, correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your horses? What are their strengths? What were you looking forward to in the event?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a master class. He is a Canadian warm blood. He's 16 years old. And I've had him since 2021. I've known him since he was 4. One of my working students actually produced him up through the 4-star level. And she is a Canadian gal named Leah Brakey. And she had to move home and needed to sell him. And I kind of jumped at the chance. So he's my first 4-star horse. So kind of bought him with the intention of gaining miles at that level and getting some good runs under my belt. And he's such a phenomenal jumper, and he's just so brave. And I would say dressage is his least favorite thing to do. So we have to be very empathetic with the big guy and try our best. And then Luna is Regala, and she is 14 years old. She's an Oldenburg mare, born at our ranch, actually bred by my mom's cousin. So she's actually dressage bred. She's at Sir Donnerhall and Rubenstein lines. Yeah. And she is just phenomenal. She's good at all 3 things and just stepped up to the level. So produced her up from beginner novice. She, born at our place. And so I've done a lot of the work myself, and it's really, really exciting to have her. She is just, in my opinion, world class. She's amazing.
That is so cool. So just so everybody knows, the 4-star level is actually the Olympic level. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Right. So the 5-star is like over that. That's like, yeah. Because they literally, not every country can even have a 5-star rider. So this is the Olympic level, actually. So it's really, really crazy. But explain to everybody what your dressage test is, because it is hard. They've made them even harder than before, I think.
They really have. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, my test this weekend included flying changes. You have half pass in the trot and the canter, shoulder in the trot, medium trot, extended walk. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like a 3rd level test where
steroids.
Yeah, on steroids. Yeah. The hardest thing was the extended canter across the diagonal and then counter canter through the short side and do the flying change at A. I was like, yes. I don't even know how to do
that. Yeah. And then didn't you walk and then have to turn and rein back? Like it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to halt and rein back. And yeah, it's wild.
It was really hard. And the change, you were coming through counter canter from an extension and it was into the crowd. So it was where it was positioned and where the ring was. Like the horses looked up at the big stadium. Like it was hard. I was like, wow, I've got some trained horses that would struggle with that.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Reese, because I thought it was hard too. And I thought maybe I was just being a baby.
No. I looked at that test. And then you like rein backed and then you did it all again the other way. It was intense. It was a hard test.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really hard. And can you kind of explain the scoring? Because if you ever watch an event, it is opposite, right, of a technical dressage test.
Right. Everything's penalty points. So it's like golf. Lowest score wins. And so everything, basically, you want to start, you're starting at 0, and everything you do wrong gets a point added on. So you are hoping to not add anything to your score by the end.
Right. Yeah. And when the score comes up on the board, it actually was like 68 or 66 or 72, but then the penalties, and then it was subtracted from 100. So you kind of, I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's a 76 or whatever it was. And then it was like, oh no, that's a 24.
Yeah. Right. And then it's some weird math that I don't understand.
Yeah. It's not divided by 100. It's weird. I wish I knew a little more about that. And actually, I don't know how this works in eventing, but there were some big spreads between the two judges. Do you know, do they do a review process of the scores?
As far as I know, they do. And I think it's anything over a certain amount of points, that spread, whatever it is. And I can't honestly remember what it is. But yeah, I thought like just a few weeks ago, I did Galway Downs. I ran the 4-star there. And I think my score on Masterclass, I think it was 12 points between the judges. It was crazy.
That's insane. Yeah, that gets, I think it's over 5 in dressage, technical dressage, they review it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's insane at an international event. Right. There were some big spreads when I was watching. So, you know, and I was watching and chatting, so I can't say I was like really watching. And I didn't know Taryn. She had already ridden by the time we met at the Hanoverian Society. So I was like, oh my gosh, I would have paid attention.
It was a good test. She tried her hardest. She was a good girl.
Yeah. So tell us, I mean, that cross country, I mean, we're out there tailgating. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie. There were some mimosas flying around when you guys were out there, but that's such a scary course. So tell everybody like what Kentucky's known for and what were some challenges on that course? Cause it was insane.
Yeah. I really think the 4-star here has gotten the reputation of being one of the hardest in the world. Yeah. I, you know, it's sort of compared to Aachen in Germany, which is a championship course. And it's every year it just seems to kind of beef up. So I think the hard thing about the 4-star here, other than just like Derek setting these impossible skinny wedge looking jumps with brushes, like the terrain is hard. The crowds are intense. You know, I even like came from jump 5 to 6 and I like audibly in the gallop, I looked up and I went, whoa.
Yeah. There's
like 5,000 people or 10,000 people standing there. I'm like, dang.
Yes.
So I think that is really, it's interesting, right? Because we like, especially on the West Coast, we don't have these kind of galloping lanes where there's roping and then there's people like pressed up right against the ropes and there's dogs and umbrellas and everybody's got a drink and a colorful jacket. So it's intense. It's a lot for the horses to look at. And then you add to that a 4-star short competition is sort of the length of a horse trial. So it's not like the 5-star where it's 11 minutes. Mm-hmm. So things like come up really fast and then you have the people. And I think it's just a lot for the horses to process mentally and visually.
Yeah. And mine is kind of like a 2-part question is, was it what you expected coming from California, but also how do you prepare coming from California? You know, like, I don't know how far people are traveling, but I winter in California and it's, do you fly them? Do you drive them? And how early do you come? So it's a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's absolutely possible to prepare in California. Like we've got great events and like really quality footing, quality course designing, all of that. I think I think the crowds played a bigger part in the cross country than I had anticipated. I showed in 2023, I went to Maryland to Fairhill and did the 3-star. So one level below what I did this weekend with Luna. And that was similar. I mean, lots of, obviously the ground is similar and the terrain, not as big of crowds, but still a ton of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I think the atmosphere is the biggest thing. Like we have Galway Downs, which is also a huge international event. But the stadium that we show jump in at Galway is probably what, half, maybe a third of the size of the Rolex Stadium. So like going into, I just called it the Rolex Stadium.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Yeah,
we all
think it is the Rolex Stadium, actually.
Okay.
Good. I think that's right.
It's like so hard. I don't even know what's happening. So that was a big moment for all of us, like my horses and myself, to go into that arena, you know. Yeah. And then I would have loved to fly them. It's just wasn't in the budget. So we hooked up the little trailer and out we came. And it was, I usually like to do it in 4 days. Mm-hmm. My horses are good travelers and they are used to kind of pulling into random farms and spending the night. So it's not a huge deal for them. And it's horsemotel.com. You can find it.
It's amazing. I think it's great.
I love Google.
It's so great. I love that. So Taryn, what's next on the list? Because you're going to stay on the East Coast for a bit, right?
That's right. Yeah, but another few weeks. So down to Ocala, get some good training in with my coach, and then up to Tryon, which also has a ton of atmosphere and cross country on a golf, an old golf course. So that'll be super exciting. I actually rode there in 2017. I did the AEC there with my Hanoverian mare, Easy A. But yeah, it's been a while since I've been back. So I'm excited to see how the facility's changed.
I love it. I think that's so fun. And tell us a little bit, wasn't Luna, she was a dressage horse for a while, right?
She was. We started jumping her when she was young and she was really bad at it. And she, you know, she just made the same mistakes over and over and over again. And I think she's, like I said at the Hanoverian Symposium, it was like these Sir Donner Hall babies, they're sort of a slow burn. Yeah. And she needed the time to get strong and to kind of come into her body. So she really didn't start eventing until she was 8. And she spent 2 years with my dressage trainer at the time, Robin Garrett, down in San Diego. And we tried like heck to sell her. And she's was too hot for an amateur and probably not going to be a super upper level FEI dressage horse. So she didn't really have a niche. And so after 2 years of just kind of banging our heads against the wall, I thought, well, let's bring her back and we'll see if she's better at jumping. And she was. And it's sort of been from there on just not looking back.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that story. What, and do you have goals and plans for her in the next coming years?
Oh, so many. Right. It's like plans A through Z.
Yeah.
my original plan, if this weekend had gone to plan A, was that I would come back in the fall and contest the 4-star at Morven Park in October. But I think since we are seeing that maybe we're a little greener than we thought, we're going to stick out west for the rest of the year. And we'll do the 4-star at the end of the year at Galway Downs.
Mm-hmm.
Then the plan is, and actually the AEC is at Galway Downs this year.
Yeah. So
yeah, that'll be some good competition and hopefully we can win some money and fund our trip back to Kentucky next year.
Yes.
So that we can actually win the 4-star like we had planned earlier.
Yeah, girl. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Because I'm your new BFF. I'm going to be there. Like,
good.
I'll be screaming in there. That'll be great. So,
yeah,
for sure. So, no, I love it. Well, did you get any shopping done? That is the one thing I had to ask you.
Girl, I was like so busy. You know how it is at horse shows where you're like, I'm going to have all this time. I only have 2 horses. What am I going to do? And then I'm just like constant. My husband's hilarious. He's like, basically it's fat camp. You brought me to fat camp. Like you're making me run around doing all this work. You never feed me. I'm like,
I'm sorry.
I know. I'm like, here's a beer. I'm really sorry. Just
now, here you go.
Shoveling, just be quiet.
Yeah, he was so cute. He took pictures of us on the panel. I was like, we need some pictures. So I'll have to get those pictures for everybody on our panel. It was fun. We did the panel, Lauren Chumley, and then we had 2 other event riders on that panel.
Yeah, Ariel Grald, who went to the World Equestrian Games in Petone, Italy. She's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And Chris Talley, who's also 5-star rider, amazing. And he has so much experience with the breeding. I didn't realize that. That was really interesting to hear that.
He was, and then Lauren Chumley, she's a fan of our show too. We love her. She was great. She's like the comic relief.
Oh my God. She's hilarious.
It was a really good panel. It was really fun.
And Dennis did such a good job of moderating.
Yeah. I know. Maybe they have it recorded. I don't know, but it was, I think, a pretty good discussion and it was fun to hear about event horses versus dressage horses. And then a bunch of the horses were dressage bred actually that you guys were riding. So that was pretty fun too, to hear their story.
I hope it's videoed.
I had so many people that like didn't even know it was happening. They were like, I was like, I don't know. I just answered the email. So, but it was a lot of fun. Well, Taryn, it has been such a pleasure to get to know you. And next year I am following you and I'm gonna can't wait to see you back here. So how can our listeners find you online if they want to see and follow your story a little bit more?
Absolutely. CopperMeadowsEventing.com is our website. And then I am pretty active on the Instagram, just under my name, Taryn Hoffus. And then we also have a page for Copper Meadows if you want to check out the farm. And Facebook, and yeah, I mean, easily accessible. So shoot me a message if you have questions or whatever.
I love it. Well, Taryn, thank you so much. And we wish you the best of luck as we go forward.
Thank you so much, Reese. Thanks, Megan.
Equine Discounts provides exclusive discounts on nationally known products for everyone in the horse world. Current partners include John Deere, Big Ass Fans, Sherwin Williams, ODP Business Solutions, Farmers Insurance, and Pets Best. They offer equine members deep discounts on everything from paint, fans, office supplies, and pet insurance to farm equipment such as tractors, mowers, hay equipment, and gators. Anyone with a paid membership to any equine association qualifies for equine discounts. Whether you are a member of a national association or a local equine affiliate, you qualify by being a member of the equine world. A percentage of every sale through equine discounts is returned to the equine industry. Call 866-678-4289 to see how an equine association member you can save money while helping support the industry at the same time.
I love this. I'm looking into this, Megan. This is amazing. I'm like, this is awesome.
Give me some discounts.
Well, tonight, it is really my pleasure to have my friend Emily Broiler Curtis from Miramonte Equestrian in Nicholasville, Kentucky on the show. Emily is really an amazing person, FEI rider, trainer, and also sales agent. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Reese.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. And Emily, first start telling us about your story, because I've known you. You've been here in Lexington for a long time now and went to the University of Kentucky. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I grew up in Kansas and actually went to the University of Kentucky with the intentions of working with racehorses. And I've always ridden dressage, but, you know, I've always heard the wives' tale that you can't make money with sport horses. So I came to UK with the intentions of doing like bloodstock. And I always rode through college. I had my own horse. And then I found people started asking me to ride their horses at the barns I was at. And so, you know, after school, I was working like a psycho, galloping racehorses, working on a broodmare division of a racehorse farm and giving lessons and still trying to ride my horse. And my trainer at the time said, you know, I think you could do this as a job. And I kind of, you know, I kind of laughed and I thought, well, that'd be fun. And so I kind of gave it a soft go. And to be honest, I've just never looked back. I, you know, I had in my mind, I said, if this doesn't work, you know, I'll go wait tables or do something to make ends meet. And it literally has not slowed down since I decided to do it. And it's changed a lot. I wound up buying a farm. I guess that would have been in 2020. And I have beautiful 86 acres just outside Lexington, Kentucky, in a wonderful facility. And it kind of evolves yearly, monthly, daily. My business evolves crazy amounts. But I also found a niche in the sales. And so, you know, I do a lot of training, but I do a lot of sales as well. It makes good money and it's fun. I get new horses and I get to meet new people all the time. It keeps it really kind of interesting for me. We also do all the typical lessons and training and horse show coaching and all of that stuff. And we do a good job with that. We're pretty successful nationally. And I have a wonderful staff and they work so hard for me and they do a really, really good job. So I'm pretty blessed to have the people supporting me that I do.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And full disclosure, Emily sells pretty much every horse that I ever sell. So we have a very nice one for sale right now, by the way. But Emily does an amazing job. She has been a huge, I mean, the service you offer, I don't really sell horses, and you do a great job because horses go and you guys take care of them. And I feel really good about it. And they've found great homes. So you're really amazing at that. And I trust you with all my horses. So I'm thankful very much for that. But Emily, not only have you run a successful business, you have the cutest baby girl. She is precious. I love her.
She is wild. Absolutely wild. I can't blame anybody but myself. But yes, I have a darling 2.5-year-old daughter. And an amazing husband.
You do.
You have an amazing run my farm.
He does. So, well, Emily, not only have you been a very successful rider and trainer in the country, last year you had quite a year, didn't you? You had quite a scare last January. Can you tell us a little bit about your story? Because not only do I want you on because you're amazing, but you really have a story now.
Yeah, it's quite a story. It's actually pretty unbelievable in every sense, especially when, you know, for me to be able to be on doing a podcast and be verbal is remarkable. So January 19th, I had moved my whole business to South Florida, as I do annually. My barn in Kentucky runs full steam ahead with my staff, and I take my assistant and about 18 horses to Wellington area to train and sell and compete and do the Florida thing. And on January 19th of 2024, I had worked a really good horse that I personally own, and I took him for a trail ride. And afterwards, just a hack around the property and on the way back to the barn. And my assistant came over about 5 minutes after I'd left the arena and found me non-responsive about 20 feet from the barn, and saw the horse grazing on the backside of the barn. So kind of put two and two together that it was probably not a good situation. Yeah. And she's amazing. She kept a really good head on her shoulders and came over to me, figured out that I was not breathing, no heart rate. So she called 911 and they actually had her put the phone on speakerphone and talked her through CPR and chest compressions, which is unbelievable. I can't fathom like having to go do that to my boss. So she is such a strong, mentally tough person. And so she kept me going until a Flight for Life got to me. And then I got choppered to St. Mary's. I was intubated on the flight over. And at St. Mary's, they discovered I had a 9-millimeter shift of my brain. And both of my pupils were fixed. So I had lost full brain activity at that point. I also shattered my C1 vertebrae and my C2 vertebrae, and had broken a ton of ribs down the left side of my body as well. So I went into emergency brain surgery, and it was obviously highly successful.
Yes, I think.
Yeah, they did an emergency craniotomy and removed the pressure on my brain. My pupils resumed activity almost immediately after the pressure was removed. And at that point, I was in a coma when they discovered me, and they left me in a medically induced coma for another almost 2 weeks. And then I was taken out of sedation. And, you know, and at that point, my poor husband, they told them, they're like, here are the injuries. Like, she's probably not going to wake up. If she does, she's not going to walk. She's not going to talk. It's as bad as you get, like with the brain injury one. And then on top of it, I had, you know, the worst neck break you can have. I came out of sedation and immediately started talking and moving, as I do. And yeah, I mean, it's truly miraculous. I went from on a ventilator to they got me into Shepherd's rehab, which is like the best of the best you can get into for neuro. And upon arrival, they evaluated me. They had told my husband to get an apartment there. It was going to be like a 2-year situation and they kicked me out. They kept me for 1 week. They evaluated me on intake, said, you're too high functioning, kicked me out. And I went back to Kentucky and did outpatient rehab on my farm. So it's been insane. It's a crazy journey. And so I was extremely fit when I fell. Like I was running 30, 40 miles a week and riding 10 horses a day and going to the gym, which I'm sure is part of the reason I survived and recovered so well. Yeah. But after I got home to Kentucky, I was in a C collar for almost 11 months, which is as awful as it sounds. I mean, it's terrible. I joke with my husband. I said, this accident is not good for me because I'm a little too vain for it. They shaved my head. I had a tracheotomy. So I have this scar in my throat. And then, you know, I was in a C collar, so I couldn't move. So my incredibly fit body kind of fell apart, but I'm alive, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then, so we got back to see the neurosurgeon the final time in November, and he cleared me to do whatever I would like. He said, I'm obviously at very high risk, like don't fall basically.
Yeah.
But I got cleared to go for runs. And since the day I have been cleared to run, I have ran every single day, even in winter in Kentucky where it was negative 12, I have run every day. I'm back to riding. I started off slowly. I am currently back to riding 7-8 horses a day right now. It looks very different for me. It's before my accident. I mean, I was riding calculated risks, but risks. I would ride if I thought it was worth it, I would ride it. And now I won't ride anything that my team does not deem appropriate for me to ride.
Good.
And I guess the good news is my long-term effect is I have no, legitimately no long-term memories. So it's really strange. Like, it's really weird. Like I saw Reese, I knew Reese's face. I knew Reese does horses. I couldn't tell you a single interaction Reese and I had ever had before my fall.
Yeah.
It's super strange. Like I knew I had a daughter, but I don't remember having a daughter. I knew I had a husband. I don't remember my wedding. It's like, it's really, really odd. My body knew how to ride, but I can't remember riding. So it's just a little bit, that's the worst long-term effect I have, but otherwise I don't have a lot of pain. I don't really have any pain, which is miraculous. Yeah. No headaches. And like I said, I'm back to riding and I actually showed 2 weeks ago.
I was going to say, just went to a horse show, which is amazing. Did.
So I did a third level on one of my horses who actually, Reese, he did not have a flying change when I started riding him again in November. So I put the change on him and then showed him third level, which was fun. So yeah, I'm just kind of pushing forward, pushing on.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's like every time I hear the story and I, you know, was around, I get chills because it's amazing to see how you've, you know, just how you've recovered and it's been really cool. So you're just such an inspiration for everybody. And that's why I really wanted you to come on and tell us your story because, you know, I know everybody has a struggle, but your struggle was real. And to see you and all of us are just so happy that you're here and we get to joke with you and we get to just, yeah, have you in our life. It's been amazing. And so to hear that you're showing, I mean, when you were like, I showed today, I was like, oh my gosh, like I haven't shown it. You've shown a third level. I haven't shown a third level in many years, man. So you beat me. So I love it.
Well, it is humbling. You know, I watched the video of my test and I thought, oh my gosh, like nobody watched, like everybody look away. Nobody watched this. And like, but I'm doing it. And so like after that horse show, I thought, okay, I have one of two routes to take. I either don't show and like hide, which is not really my MO, which is not shocking, or I horse show over and over and over until it becomes easy for me. And so I am horse showing again in the end of the month and I'm going to push through. I'm going to ride this horse in particular until I feel really confident on him. And then I'll add my other ones in and eventually I'll get to my really good horse that's with Jim Coford.
Yeah. And tell us about him because he's pretty cool and just getting better and better for you, isn't he?
Oh my gosh, it's the most amazing horse. So I actually, like, you can't make this stuff up. I bought that horse.
Yeah.
I finally broke down and bought myself, like, literally the horse of a lifetime. Like, it's the most unbelievable freak of nature horse, and its kind, and, like, all the things. And I bought him and then broke my neck 4 weeks later, which is, like, so sad. I just, you just have to laugh because it's like, I know. So I wound up calling Jim about a year ago, actually. And I said, hey, and Jim's always been so good to me. We've been buddies for a long time. He helped me a lot when I was early in my career. And he's always just been like a good mentor, just a friend. And so I called him and I said, hey, man. And he was like, oh my God, is this really you? Are you alive? I said, yeah. Can you take my good horse? And he said, are you serious? And I said, yeah, I really would like you to take him. So he took him and it's just been amazing. They're like undefeated at third level. They won finals. They went to FEI 6 year olds. He's getting ready to do a 7 year old on him, I think next week. They did a pre-St. George this year, broke a 70. Like, it's just the most unbelievable horse. And it's such a happy horse and safe. Like, I flew down to see him and, you know, I haven't ridden him since before my fall. And Jim, of course, rode him in a field that day, as Jim does, and said, okay, get on. And I'm like, out here? He's like, yeah. So I got on him in a field and I'm like, Jim's like, make him, like, get him big, kick him up. And like, I'm flinging his legs all across the field. And that horse was so good. And then I put him to the buckle. I walk over to my husband and my daughter said, I ride Roy. So we gave her my helmet and she got on him and walked him, being led, of course, but walked him around a field as well. So that horse is one in a million.
It's pretty.
And I didn't remember I owned him. So that's the other fun story. I walked.
You're like, this is an amazing surprise.
I did. I walked in my barn pretty shortly after I got home from Shepherd's and I walked into the arena and I said, oh my God, that's the most beautiful horse I've ever seen in my life. And my husband said, well, I'm glad you still like him because he's yours. So it was amazing.
That's incredible. Oh,
isn't that crazy?
I'm a huge fan of yours and I've never even met you. I can't wait for you to ride your special horse. Yeah. You have to let us know.
There won't be a dry eye in the house. I can tell you.
No.
That.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun. So Jim's going to keep him while I get my, like, it's not really confidence to ride. It's like my confidence and my performance up.
Your sea legs back. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I get my sea legs back and Jim's going to keep him until then. And then, you know, Jim's he's so gracious. He said, the second you want this horse back, I will put him on a trailer. He said, you let me know and he'll be there. But I did get to go ride him with Jim and that was really fun. So I'll go spend some time with him. He's in Ocala. I'll spend a little time riding him and, you know, get some lessons and see how we suit each other as I go forward.
I love it. Well, Emily, you are truly, like I said, I'm trying to tear up. You're truly an inspiration to us all. And I'm so glad to call you my friend and so glad you're still here. I mean, just so many things and so grateful. And I think anytime we all get to hang out, it's amazing. And it just really shows how important friends are in this industry. And if you almost lose one, it's a really scary thing. So, but we're thrilled you are back at it. And if any of our listeners have questions or want to find you online, want to find out your amazing program and about a very beautiful six-year-old you have for sale, give Emily a call. And so how do they find you online?
My website is miramoniequine.com, miramonteequine.com.
Fantastic. Well, Emily, thank you so much. And we can't wait to follow your journey from now on.
Thanks, Reese.
Love it. Well, Megan, we have the book club. Everybody heard from Evie from USDF that we have a new book club going on. It is Collective Remarks by Anne Gribbins. And you can get that at horseandriderbooks.com. And fantastic. This is a great read. I'm excited to read it again. And we're really looking forward to it. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Chewy, and Equine Discounts. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.